Hi, my name is Abby Sternberg, and welcome back to my podcast, Making the Cut, the show where we talk about all things movie-related, whether it be a certain genre of the week or the movie I've chosen to go along with it. To start off the show, the genre we'll be learning about is comedy, which is up there probably in my top five, maybe even my first pick, who knows. And to go along with it, we'll be discussing the 1986 classic Ferris Bueller's Day Off, which is one of the most memorable comedies of the late 20th century, along in the ranks of Clueless, Heathers, Pretty in Pink, and many more. And finally, before we start, as y'all know from last week, we have a guest to help discuss the movie later on. This week, his name is Dustin Payton. Let's give him a round of applause, but he'll not come on till later, as now we're going to delve into the comedy genre. So as I say, sit back, relax, maybe even get some popcorn, I'm just saying, and prepare to have a good time. No, not a good time, a great time. No, not a great time, the best time. Ready, set, let's do this. Okay, so to start off with discussing the genre, I guess the first thing to say is that it's considered one of the oldest film genres out there and one of the most prolific and popular. The pioneers of the silent filmmaking were the Lumiere brothers, who actually did the first comedy, which was the first public screening, that's how you say the word, in 1895, of Watering the Gardener, or The Sprinkler Sprinkled. Basically, they get the gardener wet. It's a whole thing. But yeah, you know, our comedy hasn't really changed throughout the years, because I know if I see a video like that on, like, YouTube or something, I still laugh. It's just one of those age-old comedies, I guess. Anyway, there are so many movies in this genre from the beginning of the 20th century to now, so here are some highlights that I thought were worth mentioning from over the decades. Dr. Strangelove, Fargo, Monty Python, Galaxy Quest, Scream, Fatal Instinct, Breakfast at Tiffany's, Here Comes Mr. Jordan, Jour de Fête, The 7-Year Itch, Pretty Woman, When Harry Met Sally, Wedding Crashers, Anchorman, and Step Brothers. And those, I might seem like a lot, but those I feel like really captured every generation's thing of comedy, as that's from the early 20th century to as of now, as Step Brothers came out in the earlier 2000s, which is actually my favorite comedy of all time. I'm not talking about now because it's a little bit R-rated, so that didn't really make the cut. Haha, play words. But yeah, I love it. And Pretty Woman was like one of the first movies when I got older my mom showed me. It's her favorite. Ugh, I love a good comedy. Don't even like, oh my god. This is one of my favorite episodes, I can already tell. Anyway, there's so many actors in the comedy industry as of recency, like John Belushi, Steve Martin, Chevy Chase, Bill Murray, Lily Tomlin, Gilda Radner, Billy Crystal, Jim Carrey, John Hughes, who is a director, but he does a lot of the major ones, like Bridget's Diary and stuff like that. But there are also old comedians who paved the way for us to even have the genre that we have today, so I thought we should mention them as well. Be ready for another longish list, as it's Preston Sturge, Roscoe, Fatty Arbuckle, Charlie Chaplin, yeah, I don't know what I was about to say there, Buster Keaton, Harold Lloyd, Harry Langdon, Larry Simon? I don't know. Katharine Hepburn, Barbara Stanwyck, Claudette Colbert, Jean Arthur, Irene Dunne, Mirren Loy, Ginger Rogers, Cary Grant, William Powell, and Carol Lombard. Again, I probably just messed up and mispronounced basically all of their names. As we know from last episode, me and names aren't the best thing in the entire world. But anyways, I know that scene might have been like a lot of information thrown at you, but they're all so important people who have helped paved the way for all the comedians we have today. They had to be mentioned. I had to throw them up there. Now y'all know too. It just had to be said. But the thing about the comedies is that the Oscars are known for snubbing them. And they normally give them to more serious movies, even though the comedy do just as good as a job as serious movies, but since they are believed to not be serious enough to be considered the award of that stature, even though that is just completely unfair, and I know this sort of came out of like nowhere, like what, we're talking about people, now we're talking about Oscars, but yeah, there you got my brain for you. And yeah, I always have a timeline out with me, and I guess when I was writing it, I jump, and yeah, oh well. I'm very scatterbrained. And anyway, but from Now, to continue on from that, from extensive research, I can safely say this genre is not on the decline whatsoever, even though they are not academically, whatever that word may be, how do you pronounce it, recognized as much as they should. New comedies are being generated at a rapid speed, since it is a genre that is so versatile. Anyway, now, some lighting cues and filming techniques that were used at the beginning were from Max Sennett, who was nicknamed the King of Comedy and formed Keystone Studios that housed people like Charlie Chaplin, the Lumiere Brothers, and many more. And it was an inventive, visual, improvised comedy display in short films that moved frantically. His use of filming technique whereby he shot the pictures at slow camera speed and then accelerated the frames, and projector during playback. He often casted vaudevillian, burlesque, and circus performers in his films. Those with exaggerated or grotesque looks were chosen to add the unreality of the situations, which I find very interesting how he would do that at that time, since a lot of those people weren't really accepted into society. So, you know, he gave them a job, which is really cool. Even if it was to sort of make fun of them a little, it still paid, and it did come out with some very good comedies of that time period. And finally, comedies are a lighthearted drama crafted to amuse, entertain, and provoke enjoyment. The comedy genre humorously exaggerates the situation, the language, action, and characters. Comedy observes the deficiencies, faux bows, and frustrations of life, providing the merriment and momentary escape from day-to-day life. They usually have happy endings, although the humor may have a serious or pessimistic side. That is the history of the genre of comedies. We can now take our history thinking caps off, like we did with The Inception, as now we're moving into my favorite part of this entire show. Like, literally, I love the movie discussion. It's when I can bring my friends in and we can really talk about these movies that we all know and love to this day. So, but as always, I'm going to be giving my spoiler alert, and before we start talking about the movie, even though the movie is 34 years old, and if you've not seen it and do not like spoilers, you might want to log off now, be warned. But again, if you have not seen it, the movie's been around for 34 years, like, it's on you at this point. And I want to always, like always, I'm going to pull from Rotten Tomatoes to get you guys the most accurate synopsis of the movie and some fast facts thrown at y'all. You ready? Because it's coming at you quickly in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, let's go. Here's the synopsis now. Teenage Ferris Bueller, Matthew Broderick, is a legend in his own time thanks to his uncanny skill at cutting classes and getting away with it. Intending to make one last grand duck out before graduation, Ferris calls in sick, borrows a Ferrari, and embarks on a one-day bacchanal through the streets of Chicago. Don't know if I pronounce bacchanal, like maybe back channel? I don't know. Oh well. Dogging Ferris's trail at every turn in high school, Principal Rooney, Jeffrey Jones, determined to catch Bueller in the act of class cutting. Writer/director John Hughes once again tries to wed satire, slapstick, and social commentary as Ferris Bueller's Day Off starts like a house affair and goes on to make serious points about status sinking and casual parental cruelties. It brightens up considerably in the last few moments when Ferris' tattletale sister, Jennifer Grey, decides to align herself with her merry prankster sibling. A huge moneymaker, Ferris Bueller's Day Off eventually spawned a TV show, and this is from Hal Erickson. So, you see, we mentioned John Hughes. That's not Jack Hughes. It's a hockey player. John Hughes, as he did that movie as well. He's a very influential director of the 90s and 80s era. And now, some basic facts for y'all. The rating is PG-13, which is for adult situation / language. The genre is comedy, of course, directed and written by John Hughes. In theaters, June 11th, 1986, worldwide. On disc / streaming, October 19th, 1999. The runtime is 103 minutes. The studio is Paramount Pictures. And the movie also got a 94% from the tomato meter and a 90% from the audience score. This is a really well-loved movie. But the thing is, the movie was nominated for a Golden Globe, which it failed to win. It wasn't really nominated for anything else because, again, it's very comedy and for more younger people. It wasn't really taken seriously by the Oscars, even though it's one of the most influential movies, I feel like, to one of the comedies to date. I'm always hearing quotes from Ferris Bueller everywhere around me, and it's just, everyone talks about it. It's a movie that just is ageless. But now I'm going to give my opinion on the movie before I hand it over to my guest. So here it goes. I would have to say, at some parts of the movie, I was laughing my butt off. But at other parts, I do have to say, it missed the mark for me. I personally had very high expectations going into the film, and sadly, I felt like it didn't meet all of them. Though, I am not saying the film was terrible, as at moments in the film, like the phone call Cameron makes to Rooney, or at the restaurant when Ferris faked the phone call, or when he was explaining how Cameron would come after he said no, made me die laughing. Yet, I feel like movies like Heather's Clueless or Pretty in Pink that are more in my wheelhouse from this era. And though in the end it was entertaining for the most part, and I would recommend it to other people because it was humorous, I just personally cannot give it the same enthusiasm as I did when I'm giving my opinion of the movie. Now, let's bring in our guest, my good friend, Dustin. After watching Ferris Bueller, what was your overall opinion of the film?
Hi, I certainly think this is a classic coming-of-age film, and I think it does a really solid job representing the comedy genre. It has a lot of interesting characters and a pretty dynamic plot. I definitely agree with what you said. The expectations for this film in particular are often set so high that you go in expecting a lot, so maybe it doesn't always hit the mark, but I definitely still think it's worth a watch.
Yeah, I definitely agree about that, but I do want to segue into talking about the characters in particular. Did you have any like favorites in mind that like stood out and for you?
Yeah, my favorite character is definitely Cameron. I just think he's quite entertaining to kind of follow his character arch throughout. He starts off kind of shy and timid, and then by the end he kind of has a transformation. He's much more confident with himself, and I think that his friends kind of rub off on him.
Oh, I definitely agree. I was actually going to say Cameron was my favorite too. I thought he was honestly the funniest out of all of them. I like the beginning scene of when he's like deciding whether or not to go with Ferris is probably one of my favorite scenes in the entire film. And I just sort of like how he called out, he was the only one who could like call out Ferris throughout like all every crazy thing he did.
Yeah, he definitely has some comic peaks, and he kind of grounds Ferris and Sloan in their crazy actions a little bit more.
Yeah. I did like Ferris too. I'm not gonna say he wasn't one of like my favorites. It was his movie, but just I don't know. I just feel like he did not, I feel like Cameron just brought the movie together more than him. And I know it's, like, such a, like, weird thing to say because Ferris is, like, the center character, like, not the center character, the main character. But.
Yeah, I agree. I think Ferris is definitely a close second for me. I think I relate a little more to Cameron, so I find him funnier. But Ferris is certainly, he's definitely the star, and he really adds a lot to the movie too.
Yeah. So now we're gonna talk about least favorite characters / characters. We didn't really find that necessary. And now, like, don't hate me for this one, but I think Sloan was one of the most unnecessary characters in that entire film.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to think about the film where it's just Ferris and Cameron going on this adventure, and I actually think that could really work. Sloane kind of just fills in as Ferris's like girlfriend and a little bit of romance throughout, but she never really adds too much herself, so that is certainly an interesting point that I hadn't thought of.
Yeah, I don't know, I was watching the entire film and I'm just sort of like, what is she doing here? Like, there's really no point to this. It could really just be Ferris and Cameron, and the same entire like plot would be able to happen with no trouble.
It's very true, and it might even allow for Ferris and Cameron to have a more intimate friendship themselves without a third person in the way.
Oh yeah, most definitely. And now, there's one character that's not my favorite, nor my least favorite, but definitely worth mentioning, which would have to be Principal Rooney. I thought he was hilarious throughout. Like, I always laughed at his scenes. Like, when he, like, yelled at Cameron while he thought it was Sloane's dad about the grammar, or when the dog went after him, or even like the ending scene with him going on the bus. I don't know. He was just one of the funniest, in my opinion.
Yeah, he's pretty funny. There's like that one scene where he's like standing on the water pipes outside of Ferris's house and like gets sprayed with water and like all muddy, and then the dog starts coming for him. I mean, it's just like, it's a lot of comic relief that we can kind of make fun of, whereas I think the other characters we're supposed to kind of look up to them more.
Yeah, I definitely think that's true. And even with the part with Ferris's sister, I always forget her name, so I'm not gonna say it. But
I have no clue what her name is.
She's not the most memorable character.
Of course, yeah.
But you know what I'm talking about. And like when she finds him in the house, and I thought it was so. I don't know. I thought it was so funny when she like kicked him and.
Yeah, yeah, it's a good part. Mm-hmm. I feel like the sister is like, I don't know. She's definitely not. She's like one of my least favorite characters of the movie. But not like her acting is bad. She has an important role. It's just that I think she's made intentionally to not be liked. And then at the end, of course, she turns around a little bit. But there's kind of, she brings like the sibling rivalry to the film, and I can certainly relate to that.
Yeah, I was just about to say, though I did not really like her, could I relate to her 100%, especially with having like siblings who like sometimes can get away with stuff a little bit more than you can.
Yeah, yeah, I agree. I mean, I'm kind of technically the youngest, even though I'm a triplet, so I don't know, I kind of get the benefits sometimes. Not as extreme, though.
Yeah, and you have an older sibling, too. It's your older sibling who probably can relate to her, because...
Yeah, I'm sure he would find her more relatable.
Yeah, that's what I like about the movie, though, that, like, different, like, people can look at it and relate to the different characters, like, very differently. Like, I know, like, my...
Yeah, I think...
Oh, sorry. Continue.
No, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say how, like, my brother can probably relate to Ferris so much more than I can. And, like, I honestly see, like, similarities in them, and I bet you probably see more similarities, like, with him as well, as just, like, how, like, the family relationship works.
Yeah, yeah. I definitely feel like the contrast between all the different characters is what really brings the comedy to this one.
Yeah. So now we're going to segue a little bit onto any of the flaws, like plot holes, rush plot, slow plot, whatever you can really think of that might have like hindered the movie a little bit. I'm going to turn to you.
Okay, I'll start, and then I'll definitely we'll go for what you have to say too. I think sometimes the pacing can be a little off. Sometimes it moves a little slow, and then other times it kind of speeds up and it's kind of going too fast, and that kind of disrupts certain parts of it. And then plot holes that I'm thinking of. I know there's like one, oh man, this is like weirdly specific, but there's one scene where there's one scene where like they're at the fancy restaurant, and this was like a cut scene, so apparently they were supposed to order like a human pancreas or some weird thing at the restaurant, and then they cut that scene, but later on they like mention that, and like that's like they mention that scene again in the movie, but it's not actually there. So there's like little details where there's like little plot holes like that. That's a very odd example, but like little details like that.
I didn't even notice that.
Yeah, what do you have to say?
I was going to say something similar.
Yeah, it's a small thing.
About like how the plot is either very rushed or very like elongated. Like the part where he's like mimicking like the song like on the fair, like on what, the float? That's what it's called. The float, I was about to call it. The fair sail. No, that's not it. But anyway, on the float, like that was like a good... like 6-7 minutes of him doing like multiple songs, and that could have been like easily like 1 minute and then be done.
Yeah, and there's also no build up there to like, he just like like, how did he get on the float? And, like, where was all of that? It just kind of, like, came out of nowhere, and then he's up there dancing. I mean, of course, that, like, little parade scene in Chicago is like, an iconic scene, but it's a little long. It's a little long. It brings energy, but it could have been condensed, I agree.
Yeah, that's just, like, I know it's iconic, and it's one of my, like, favorite scenes. I just felt like they really, like, brought it on much longer than, like, it had to have been. But again, with, like, the whole, like, the car, Fiari, how do you pronounce that? I cannot pronounce anything for that.
The Ferrari?
Ferrari,
the
yeah.
Car? Is it a Ferrari?
Yeah, I think it's a Ferrari. I was about to call it, like, Fieri, like, Guy Fieri.
Guy Fieri?
Yeah, and with the car, anyway, I, like, when they just, like, that pushed out, like, through the glass, I was like, where did that come from? Like, I mean, I know it's, like, supposed to, like, go against his father and everything, but I felt that was so out of, like, the blue, and how,
yeah,
like, the car is, like, the main centerfold, like, the entire time. I don't know. I just, I mean, I guess that's good that we didn't expect
right.
it. I thought it was a little,
yeah,
like,
yeah. I mean, right, like, right before the car goes out the glass, I mean, he, like, kicks the front of it, and it's already, like, the car is kind of wrecked. He didn't have to go that far, but I guess they tossed it in.
Yeah, I mean...
Yeah.
And then one more scene, and I'm going to stop talking about the flaws, is the pool scene. Where did that come from?
Oh, that's... Yeah, I forgot about that. It takes a very dark turn very quick.
I know! But, like...
I don't know. I definitely... I don't know where it came from. They start just mentioning all, like the negative and depressing... things about Cameron. Like, I don't know, we didn't see that in a lot of the other film. Like, maybe a little bit of anxiety, but he gets kind of dark there.
Yeah, and, like, also, how did they get to the pool? Where is this pool from?
Yeah, I have no clue. That's what I was wondering too. I had to, like, backtrack the first time I watched it and, like, check, like, where did they just go? Yeah, that scene is very random. Definitely a hole in the movie.
Yeah, that's, like, the one thing that, like, sticks out to me every single time. Like, when I, like, looking at all the scenes, because I rewatched this recently for the podcast, and there's just, like, that one scene. I'm like, what?
Yeah, where does it come from? Why?
I have no clue. But now we're going to stop talking about the negatives of the movie. Well, I mean, maybe we're not going to stop talking. We're going to discuss the ending. Was it satisfying? Any grievances? What would we change? So maybe we're going to be continuing with the negatives. But hopefully it'll turn a little bit more positive. So again, I'll let you go first.
Yeah. And I'll add in later. Okay. Yeah, I love the ending of the movie. I think it's really cool how it comes full circle. You know, it starts with him in the bedroom faking sick, and it ends with him in the bedroom still faking that he was sick all day. But we know everything else that happened between those two bookends. And I think that the whole build up to the ending, like the little race to see who can get back to the house first, whether it's Ferris or his family, is an exciting way to end it as well. Yeah, I don't know. I think the ending's clever.
I agree. I actually really liked how the ending happened. I thought it really tied, like you said, tied the story together. And again, it is, like, supposed to be very satirical, very slapstick. So I feel like it just fit very well for what the movie was supposed to be. And then I don't know if you stayed all the way till the end of the credits when he's like, what are you still doing here? Like, why? Like, I thought that was really funny.
I did see that. If we were, like, watching that in theaters or something, like, I can imagine that'd be a kick. That'd be a good one.
Yeah, I mean, I wonder how many people, like, actually stayed the first time when it came out, because, like, that never really happened before. And it's not like an Avengers movie where you have to sit there and wait for it to happen.
Yeah. But he really, I think the parts, like, at the ending that you just mentioned when he, like, breaks the fourth wall, I mean, that's where you get a lot of the relatability. He's always, like, cutting in and out, directing to the audience or not, like, dropping tips and like, some humor there, so that definitely adds to it. Yeah, the ending is funny though.
Yeah, the ending was probably one of my favorite parts, and as you said, with cutting to the fourth wall, I thought that was, like, really good. That's one of my favorite parts of the movie as well. I thought that... I always like it when a movie does that. That's just my personal opinion, though, on, like, all types of movies. But I think it just brings, like, a certain level of, like... I don't know. What, I don't know what you'd call it. Like... Do you know what I'm talking about, though?
It's like... It develops some connection between the character and the actual viewer, you know?
Yeah, that's the word. I, like, cannot speak sometimes, and... but that's okay. Besides the point. That's another issue.
Yeah, I'm certainly there, too.
Okay, so why don't we get into another favorite section of mine of the show I have... is the rating section. So first we're going to rate the total movie on a scale of 1 to 10, which I'm going to give my rating, and I give it a 7. I know not the highest as compared to last week when I rated it a 9 for Inception. I know this has been a bit of a drop, but as I said, with all the negatives, it definitely, again, was not my favorite of the time period movies, but it was still very fun to watch. That is why it doesn't get anything lower, but I don't think it could reach like an 8 or a 10. But what do you think on that?
I'd have to disagree a little bit. I think it could reach an 8, so I'll give it an 8. I think it's a lot of fun to watch. I think it's as far as comedy goes, it's definitely it's up there in the tops for comedy. Yeah, it definitely has flaws, as we mentioned, and it also has some questions about how relatable it still maintains and holds till today, but I'd give it a solid 8 for sure. I think it deserves that.
Maybe. I don't know. But, I mean, everyone has their own opinion on it. That's what, like, the goal of this, like, podcast is to see everyone's opinions on these different movies. So now we're going to get into the rating of the total, like, movie genre type thing. And I give that a 9.5. I love a good comedy. Like, comedy is probably, like, my favorite or second favorite film genre of all time. What about you?
Yeah, I don't think you can go wrong with a comedy. I'd have to give it... I'm going to give comedy a 9 out of 10. I mean, a good comedy just can put anyone in a good mood.
Yeah, most definitely. You can't go wrong. Even when they're bad, they're still funny, in my opinion. Like,
yes, especially when they're bad, because then you can just laugh at that, and that's another layer to add to it all.
Yeah, that's. I think that's like the real like good thing about a comedy genre, and for like filmmakers, like as you said, you can't go wrong, because if it's bad, that's like you can say, oh, that's just the movie's supposed to be bad. Like it was supposed to be like that's the comedy of it.
Right.
And then we're going to go on to the Richter scale of Didn't Make Abby Cry. As we know, I cry at literally every movie. I've cried at... last time I said I cried at Frozen 2. I know I've cried at We've Bought a Zoo. I'm just going to add another movie I've cried at each day, the podcast. And so on this, I give it a 1. I was not crying here. It was a comedy through and through.
Yeah, the only tears would be tears of laughter. I don't think this one's going to get any emotions aside from humor out of people.
Yeah, most definitely.
This will break your streak, Abby.
I know. I feel like I've even, like, cried in, like, while watching a movie, like, with you at one point with everyone. Like, I feel like I cried. Like, this probably is surprising. I know I was with, like, Jess and Josh, and I cried at Frozen 2. Like, bawling my eyes
out.
Oh,
no.
It was so
bad. Oh my gosh. Good job, Abby.
I know.
I can't remember the last movie I've cried about, so we're different there, but it's funny.
No, it's so bad. My family won't even watch movies with me anymore. If it's like, if they know it's going to be sad, they're like, you have to watch that on your own. Like, it's...
Yeah, I suppose so.
Yeah, I've been banned from watching, so that's why I watch comedies a lot now with my family, because that's the only one I'm allowed to watch. So I want to thank you for your time. If you want, I give this for all my guests an option. If you want to plug yourselves on social media, I know my brother plugged himself on his Xbox, but if you don't want to, that's totally fine. I just give it an option.
I believe my Instagram is just Dustin Payton, one word, if you want to follow me. But I don't really care.
You guys should go follow him. There's
Yeah,
not
Sam.
much there, but.
There's not a whopping total of about two posts currently. But yeah, thank you so much for having me. I had a lot of fun with this.
You, any
And
final
yeah.
messages before we go?
I don't know. Well,
You
the
don't
ending
know.
of the movie is like a nice little message, so we'll toss it off on that. It's like life moves pretty fast. If you don't stop and look around every once in a while, you could miss it. That's a cute little Ferris Bueller ending.
Yeah, that sounds so good. So that is Dustin Payton. Let's give him one more round of applause. Okay, so thank you guys so much for tuning in to my second episode of Making the Cut. Tune in next week where we'll be learning about the action genre with special guest John Rosenberg. I would tell you guys about the film, but as last week, as I said, you won't have an incentive to come back. So you guys gotta wait and see. It is a good one. Trust me, probably my favorite movie we're doing so far. And you guys can find me on Instagram, Abby Sternberg, one big thing, ABBIESTERNBERG, and Twitter, Abby Sternberg, again, one big thing, no capitals, ABBIESTERNBERG. And please tweet me what you guys like and stuff, and I can do, and what I can do to make the show more better for you guys. That's not correct English, but it's fine. And don't forget to follow on Spotify and Apple Podcasts so you can get notifications every time a new episode comes on. Though, especially be on the lookout for the next episode to drop in the next couple days. Goodbye, y'all. Have a good night, and let's see if next week can make the cut.